Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is Alan Sliwa, host of the Lakers pre- and post-game, Lakers Talk and the Sliwa Show. I'm here with Brad Wallace, one of the top personal injury trial lawyers in the game. Brad, tell our listeners why they need to call the Wallace Firm when they get hurt.
Alan, I'll put my courtroom record up against any other lawyer on the radio. We focus on getting our clients top results. You won't see my face on billboards and won't hear me play an annoying jingle. If you get injured, you need a real trial lawyer, not a marketing guy.
Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS, or visit WallaceWins.com today.
All right, big thank you to Billy Mack. We are experimenting here. All right, this is my first show from home. This is the new norm right now. Hopefully, the quality is good, and I'm going to try and continue to improve the quality. So I'm working on some things. All right, I'm working on some things in the background. So there was a story came out on ESPN a little bit earlier today. Tim Bontemps of ESPN. So Giannis leading the MVP votes. ESPN did a survey, 70 media members, 60 of them chose Giannis. 60. I don't want to take anything away from Giannis. I really don't. I know the Bucks are having an amazing season, and I know we'd all be so lucky to just have a full season or just have a playoffs, you know, at this point. And Giannis, best season in the NBA, 53-12. You know, obviously he's leading the way. Number one team in the NBA, 29.5 points, 13.5 rebounds, almost 6 assists. Giannis has been ridiculous. But I will say this. To have 60 of 70 media members vote that Giannis is no question about it the MVP of the league, that baffles me. It really, really does. I've had the privilege to watch LeBron James on a daily basis. And I know that I'm not in Milwaukee, and I know I'm not watching Bucks games on a night in, night out basis. But LeBron's been the most valuable player in the league. You look at LeBron James when he comes at a game, see what happens to the Los Angeles Lakers, and that's even with Anthony Davis on the squad. You look at the impact LeBron James has on a night-in, night-out basis. It is unbelievable how important he is to the Lakers. And the Lakers, by the way, second-best record in the NBA, number one record in the better conference between the East and the West. We would all say that the Western Conference is a tougher conference. And then let's also look at, as the Lakers kind of have gradually got better and better as the season was progressing, LeBron versus the best of the best. How about versus that Bucks on that Friday night right before the season got canceled? 37 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. How about LeBron versus the Clippers, the team that everybody's saying Lakers don't have enough, they can't beat them, blah, blah, blah. 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. Both W's and both big-time statements from LeBron James. I mean, I respect, obviously, I'm a part of the media. I don't have a vote in this. I respect what they all do, but 60 of 70, only 10 of them, or probably even less than that, because I think there were a couple other votes that went to other players, first place votes. Let's just say 10 of them went to LeBron. 60 of 70 go Giannis. 60 of 70 go to Giannis. Come on now. Am I watching a different? Was I watching different? A different season? Were others not watching LeBron as closely as I was? And I imagine they all were because it's LeBron James. But that one is that one's shocking to me. I'm not going to lie. That one's definitely shocking to me. As the great Michael Thompson always tells me in the Lakers pregame show, he always tries to teach me, Alan, who cares who wins the MVP? Because the only thing that matters is winning the finals MVP. The regular season MVP means nothing. I get it. I understand that. If we have a, you know, obviously if we have a playoffs and we get that opportunity for a playoff run, of course, the only thing that LeBron James is going to care about is a finals MVP. And I'm sure the only thing Giannis is going to care about is a finals MVP as well. What does his regular season MVP do for him when you have – he has that last year, but Kawhi has the finals MVP. I'm sure he wants the finals MVP. Who knows if we'll get a chance to play it out. But I just kind of find it that one's a tough one to understand, that 60 of 70 media members. Like, I would get it. Let's say Giannis won it by 10. Let's say Giannis won it by 5. Giannis won the votes by 60 or by 50, 60 to 10. That's no. Yeah, 60 to 10. It's one of those that is it's a tough one to understand, and I think maybe because I know I wear the Los Angeles Lakers close to my sleeve or right on my sleeve, but still I can be objective. If LeBron wasn't having a good season, I don't have any problem saying that. No, I don't feel like, you know, he deserves the NBA championship or anything like that. But that's obviously that's not the case in this scenario right here. So that's what the leading MVP votes. I know that meant so much more before, and that wasn't much of a conversation over the last, let's say, a couple of weeks since the season got canceled. There's been other stories that are much more important. But that was, you know, a story that came out earlier today from Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Now, how things kind of go from here, will if eventually the season does come back and that becomes another conversation, I don't think there's going to be much of a regular season. So it looks like it would appear that, okay, well, Giannis will win the MVP simply because how many more games are we going to play? If we got that opportunity to play more games, are we going to play 5 more games, 7 more games? Like, how many more games are we going to play? It's obviously not going to be much. All right, that's my cue. We got Shootout coming up next. Still another hour to go. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation will come on in a little bit as well. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Funches, just a quick read here. So we're teaming up, like you heard right there just a second ago, with ABC7 and the LA Rams to host a virtual telethon on Tuesday, March 24th from 4 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. The event will benefit United Way of Greater Los Angeles Pandemic Relief Fund and the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank to assist Southern California response efforts during this unprecedented global health crisis. Here's the ways to donate to this virtual telethon coming up this Tuesday, so tomorrow. Call toll-free 888-504-9491 or 213-263-0211. You can also text UNIFIED4LA to 844-701-5181. For more information, go to our at ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page. So wanted to plug that in there real quick. What's going on, Funches? Let's get some Shootout started here. Funches, as you know, Shootout presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win, you need the Wallace Firm. Go to my guy, Brad Wallace, proven trial lawyers who could get you a W for your case. If you're injured, get the W, call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee, 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. How you doing, Funches?
I'm all right, man. I think, you know, the things are winding down for me here. I've been, like, literally the only guy here today, and it's been lonely and it's been hard, so, you know.
Well, you've been, bro, you put together two shows. You put together this show. You put together Mason in Ireland, and you're doing that. I mean, we're running around, got interviews going on, so I know there's a lot going on there while I sit at the comfort of my own home in my slippers.
You hear that, Amanda? Greg, I need a raise.
Okay, I got it. I got to tell you. So in the background, what do you think I have on in the background?
Maybe some old basketball. I'm thinking some old basketball.
NBA TV is on.
Okay.
NBA TV is on. And LeBron just won his third NBA championship, Game 7, 2016.
Oh, my God. That was a good game.
In Golden State. Oh, unbelievable.
The block
game.
On Andre Iguodala. The block on Andre Iguodala.
Kyrie's cold-blooded three over Steph Curry.
That's when they came back from 3-1, right?
Came back from 3-1. Yeah. Draymond got suspended for Game 5, and then the tide kind of turned from there.
Yeah, crazy series, man. I that was one of the best finals I've ever seen.
No, it was. It was, and it will go down as, you know, for him so far in his career, just because he did it in Cleveland. They had it won in 54 years or something like that. Obviously, that was extremely meaningful to LeBron James. All right, what do we got in Shootout?
Damn.
Thank you, Keyshawn. Making
Key,
an appearance.
He's a part of the show.
Of course,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, for a second there, I didn't know who that was. Key, thank you, man.
All right, so Danny Green and Dwight Howard were recently on the Taylor Rooks show on Bleacher Report, where they were asked about everyone's favorite Laker, Alex Caruso. And since we know about Dwight's insane amount of snakes and reptiles, he was asked what reptile would Alex Caruso be?
Oh, wee. I would say he would be an albino lizard.
Why?
One of those big dragons.
Why?
Hold up.
Fast.
Yeah.
Bites hard. I love that.
Great answer.
So, yeah,
great answer.
Go with that.
So, Alan, what reptile do you identify with?
That me? Like, for me, that describes me?
Like, are you a cobra? Are you a black mamba like Kobe? Are you a Komodo dragon that just hangs out? Are you an iguana?
All right, I got to think of this for a second. Can I have a second here?
Of course, man.
I mean, we're just live on ESPN radio.
Are you a snake? A boa constrictor?
No, I'm just kind of. I'm going to go with a bird. What kind of bird am I? I'm just kind of chilling. You know, kind of just up there. Sometimes up in the trees. What kind of? Definitely not like an eagle or a hawk.
Well, I mean, I asked you what reptile you were, and not a bird.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Jesus, man, this guy said.
I think you're like more of an iguana, man. You just chill out. You know, you take things easily, and whatever comes, comes.
I'll take an iguana.
Yeah.
I'm good with an iguana. This guy said reptile. I said a seagull.
He said an eagle. Yes. They're flying reptile. Yes.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, I'll go with that. But by the way, I really like Dwight's answer. Dwight's answer, that's on point. Right
yeah,
there.
I mean, he like has like what he's doing. He has like 30 reptiles and like 30 snakes. So, I mean, I actually saw – do you watch a show called Tanked?
Tanked. Is that the one where they do the
fish tanks and stuff like that? Yeah. Dwight Howard was on it, and he had his whole snake collection. He had like 30 snakes in one room, and he wanted the guys to build him like a special aquarium for one of his snakes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's just
all right, I got to go back and watch that. Do snakes kind of creep you out a little bit?
Dude, they creep me out a lot. I just wanted a few things that like I can't be in the same room with.
I'm with you on that one, man. I'm with you on that.
London, mate.
Thank you, Key. Now, we don't have a lot of stuff going on.
From London.
I know, right? So we don't have like a lot of stuff going on, obviously. So we're going.
What are you talking about? We got a lot going on. I've been busy all day.
We're going to play some trivia.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we got happy birthday to the late, great Moses Malone, who would have been 65 today. He passed away a couple years ago. Now, did you know Moses is one of 8 players that have won 3 regular season MVP awards? Now, Alan, can you name the other 7, and I'll give you 3 strikes. Now,
so Moses has won three
regular season MVP awards. MVPs. Can you name the other 7? And they're basically, I don't know. You can come up with the answers.
Okay, Kareem.
There's one. He got 6 of them.
All right. Jordan.
Jordan got 5 of them.
Wilt.
He has 4.
All right, so there's 4 left that won regular season MVPs, 3 regular season MVPs or more.
Think really obvious.
The problem is I don't think really obvious is okay. How about we go with Magic?
Okay. Yeah, 3.
All right. Here's the problem. Kobe didn't win 3 MVPs.
No, he did not.
Which is BS.
He did not. But another Laker did. Another Laker did.
I don't think Shaq did either.
No. I mean, is that your final guess?
Jerry West.
There's your first wrong answer.
Okay. There's another Laker on this list. I said Wilt. I said Kareem. We got Magic. LeBron.
LeBron has 4, and now you only need 1.
More.
No, you just need 1.
I need 1 more.
Just need 1.
There's 1 more left.
Yeah.
Okay, our generation or way before?
Way, way, way back.
Oh, the best. That was my favorite.
I can give you a clue, but you're going to get it right away. I'll just say the greatest.
Oh, Bill Russell.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go.
We got it, L.A. We got it. We got it.
All right.
Man, I'm not pulling out.
I don't know who Roy is, but, you know.
I don't either. I get it.
All right. Another guy with a birthday today is Kyrie Irving, who turns the ripe age of 28. Now, did you know?
Kyrie is just 28 years old.
I know, right? You think he's like 35 or something with the things that he says or some stuff like that. But did you know Kyrie is one of 9 active players to have had at least 4 50-point games? Now, can you name the other eight, Alan, with only three strikes?
Okay, four 50-point games.
Yeah, they are okay. Active players. Active players.
Active players. Okay. Damian Lillard.
He has nine 50-point games.
Is Bradley Beal on that list?
No, he is not. He only has three. I get that. He only has three, okay. Not four.
All right, KD is on that list.
He has six.
Steph Curry's on that list.
He has six.
James Harden is on that list.
Of course, the leader at 23.
LeBron James is on that list.
He's got 12. Need three more guys.
Three more guys, active players.
Active
that
players.
Have had,
active players.
What was the question again?
Active players with at least four 50-point games in their career.
All right, with at least four 50-point games. Okay. I'm going to actually think, I think Russell Westbrook's on that list.
There you go. He has five. You need two more. Give me two
all
more,
right,
Alan.
Two more. We did KD. We did Clay's on that list.
No.
Didn't Clay have like 37 and a quarter? He
yeah,
couldn't figure
but
out a way to
mean
get
he had,
a few more for another game?
Doesn't mean he has four 50-point games. He might have two or three, but not four.
All right, let me think here. What players am I missing?
One of the greatest scorers of our generation.
I said KD. I said Harden. I said LeBron.
Another scorer.
Another scorer. Who am I missing? I have a feeling there's an incredible, obvious one that I'm missing right now. Kawhi?
No,
he's
I think
definitely
that's your,
not.
That was your
he's
third strike. But
okay,
one guy is a Laker.
AD,
yeah. He has four 50-point games.
Of course he does.
And the other guy is, I think he's obvious, Carmelo Anthony.
Never heard of him. You know what's funny? Because Carmelo's not top of mind, I don't think I would have guessed Carmelo.
Yeah.
But AD,
it's hard,
man. That's right.
It's hard, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Key. Thank you. It's
it is hard.
It is hard being in the studio right now by yourself, Key. I know.
Well,
I know,
listen,
man.
Listen, it's also, I'm being thrown these trivia questions, and there's nobody to, you know, kind of spin it off of.
All right,
what do
I
you
got,
think Mason's doing right now?
Chilling at home and
yeah.
Not listening to the station.
No, I don't think so.
All right, I got one more trivia question,
let's hear
basically.
It. Let's hear it.
And it was basically on this date in 2007. Kobe Bryant scored 50 points in his fourth consecutive game.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the other guy in NBA history to put together a streak of four or more 50-point games?
Four or more 50-point games
in a row.
Wilt?
There you go. That's
yeah,
it. And remember that streak that Kobe went on about 13 years ago when he just
killed
everyone in like seven straight games? He scored like 40 points or more.
Absolutely, I remember it. And that's what makes, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, Kobe, when we look back on him, there's so many different things that he accomplished. That one sometimes I forget about because there's all those other things that he accomplished. So, rest in peace, the great Kobe Bryant. Still crazy to say that, Funches.
I know.
Still crazy to say that. But anyways, is that it on the shootout front?
Oh, no, we got one more.
Okay, go ahead.
Ew, Keyshawn. Sounds like what my blind date said to me when she saw me.
Was that Keyshawn? That's always been his.
That has always been Keyshawn.
I think I've heard that probably 100 times on the station.
I know, me too. It's like the best, one of the best drops that we have. All right. So Quinn Cook did a Q&A for NBA Twitter today where he was asked, what was his first ever sports jersey? And I forgot to get the sound, but this is what he said.
It's okay.
He said that his first ever sports jersey was a Michael Jordan red away jersey, 23. And my first ever sports jersey was a Michael Jordan Dream Team jersey, number 9, a white one, back in 92. Alan, what was your first ever sports jersey you can remember?
My first ever sports jersey that I could remember, I'm pretty sure it was Magic. And it was yellow Magic. You know what else? Actually, let me tell you, probably the greatest thing that I owned was this Lakers starter jacket.
Oh, man. I love the starter jackets, man.
But it was a weird color. It was like a gray color with just the Laker logo.
Yeah.
And then I had this Magic. When they were in the Olympics in 92, there were these weird, like, I don't know, the design and of the Olympics. You know how every year that changes?
Yeah.
I remember having a Magic Johnson shirt, and I was like, that's it. I don't need anything else. I got everything I need right here. Back in the days. Those are the ones I remember.
Yeah, those starter jackets, I was pissed off at my mom one Christmas because she gave me like a fake starter jacket. And she thought that was, you know, she Your thought that was a starter jacket.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she gave me a bootleg. That. And this is, you know, I had
Rate. Think about how expensive they were. All right.
I know.
Your
I know.
Mom was like, I'm going to kill two birds with one.
No, I think
I'm
she
get my son what he wants, but I'm going to get it at my price.
Yeah. Right. And I think the ironic thing, I think it was like almost the same price. Whatever jacket she bought me and a starter jacket were like the same price.
That definitely didn't work out as planned.
Not at all, man. And that's all I got for you, brother.
All right, Funches. Appreciate it, man. Okay, let's do this when we come back. When we come back, Trevor Lane, senior writer for Lakers Nation. You guys obviously know him. He's hopped on the show a couple different times and just does a great job for Lakers Nation. And we know that that broadcast does a good job of just covering the Los Angeles Lakers in general. So coming up next, we'll have Trevor Lane a part of the show. Appreciate everybody that's tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Trevor Lane, senior writer for Lakers Nation, hopping on the show. Trevor, a frequent guest. Appreciate you hopping on the show, buddy.
Hey, Alan. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Trev, we are just kind of going day by day in the world. It's been so interesting to just kind of play out the last, we could say here in the States, just under 2 weeks, but the reality is this has been going on in the world for the last few months, and every day is just a little bit different. You know, it's like you're trying to get as much information as you can, and then, you know, I'm sure you and I are always keeping up on the sports side of things and trying to figure out, hey, do we got a chance of playing out the rest of the season? What has this whole experience been like for you?
Oh, Alan, it's been, I mean, for a lot of people, it's been surreal. I can't believe how quickly this has all hit us and how quickly the sports world has fallen apart. You know, it feels like, and really looking at a calendar, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about the Lakers' big wins over the Bucks and over the Clippers, and Lakers Nation did this huge, huge watch party for it and everything back on March 6th. And now here we are, and there's no basketball, there's no soccer, there's no baseball, there's nothing. It's completely surreal, and I know I'm with everybody else just hoping that there's some way to get things back on track sooner rather than later.
So, Trev, it's kind of, and I asked this question, a lot of different guests that I've had on. It's last week I was on Monday through Friday. This week I'll be on again Monday through Friday. So, obviously spending a lot of time talking about things just aside from sports, but how are you using your time? Like, what's your schedule look like? I know your other job, you're a teacher, is your other job, right? A math teacher, I think you had mentioned to me before.
Social studies, yeah.
Or social studies. Okay, social studies. So what is kind of your world been, and what are you doing? Are you still trying to kind of come up with different ideas and stories and things along those lines around Lakers basketball?
Yeah, I mean, we're still cranking out content for LakersNation.com and coming up with stuff and, you know, talking about things like, hey, if the playoffs are starting right away and the Lakers are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies, what's that going to look like? We're projecting forward. We're looking at, you know, what some of the better games were this season. And then, you know, as far as my other career as well, that's now looking like more online stuff, which ironically, I have a whole studio set up in my house already. Right. So I think I'm going to start doing some video lessons and stuff and sending those out there for kids. So that's going to be, that's the way things are moving from here. It's a lot more working from home and a lot, unfortunately, both of my careers, I can effectively do that. So I'm very lucky in that sense.
You know, Trev, speaking of some of those topics that you put out there, one of the topics I put out to Laker fans today is, what do you miss most about Lakers basketball? And I know there's probably a long laundry list of things, you know, looking at this season and what the Lakers were able to accomplish and had 49 wins, coming off wins against the Bucks and the Clippers. And we won't mention the loss against the Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, as you kind of look at just how great this season has been, especially going this many years without making the playoffs, what stood out to you? What are you missing most about so far not having Lakers basketball right now?
You know, I certainly miss doing like our post-game shows and interacting with the fans and on that level, breaking down each game by game, doing that kind of analysis. I definitely miss, but big picture, I miss the feel of this season, because like you said, 6 years of not being in the playoffs, it feels like it's been a long time since we've had Lakers basketball. And I felt like this season felt like Lakers basketball again. It wasn't this weird, bizarro world where, you know, you're just developing the kids and it's okay to lose and let's tank for draft picks and all that kind of, that wasn't part of the discussion at all this year. And the team's winning. The team's been doing well. First place in the Western Conference. You've got an MVP candidate in LeBron James. You've got probably the Defensive Player of the Year in Anthony Davis. It felt like all the things that the Lakers are supposed to be again. So it felt like for the first time in a long time, we had the Lakers back. And so to have that taken away now, that's certainly been difficult.
Yeah, I would say that's the one for me. For me, it's we're just playing such good basketball. You know, like every night was a privilege to watch this team play. And look, I know there's a lot more important things than just basketball in life. And we're actually seeing that all right now as we're in the middle of it. But as I say that, and as we're in this position, it is kind of one of those where there was such an appreciation for a good quality style of basketball. There was an appreciation for team basketball. There was an appreciation for this incredible chemistry that this team, you know, obviously was building over the course of 63 games, I think is the amount of games that we ended up playing. But all of that, you kind of put that together and you start comparing it to previous years. Man, that 100% stood out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the one thing that just, you feel it. You know, you definitely feel it. You miss seeing, especially, like I said, you know, you mentioned that loss to the Brooklyn Nets. I don't even remember that. That didn't even happen in my mind. I'm still riding that high off of the wins over the Bucks and the Clippers. And that, again, that feel of the Lakers being back. It's something that was missing for far too long. And so being without it now is definitely tough. And I'm hoping that things do start to turn sooner rather than later and we can get back to this season. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if we're talking about 5 games of regular season and then just jump right into the playoffs. I don't know if that's what the owners ultimately in the NBA comes up with. But I just hope that sooner rather than later we can get these guys back out on the floor, because I think that Lakers fans need it. But as a country, we need sports back again. We need that entertainment. We need that distraction, if you will, from a psychological aspect. I do think this is an important part of our country that we need to get back in action.
Trev, let's just kind of like look at scenarios, and I've done this with a few different people, but there's no way of determining how long this country as a whole and really the world is battling COVID-19, right? So that's obviously the most important thing, by far the most important thing. And if we're privileged enough to get some basketball a few months from now or down the road, then we know that, okay, things are okay. We have it under control. And that's the most important thing. But as you kind of look at just looking at the season, right, just looking at how far you can suspend a season before you pretty much have to kind of pull the plug and say, I just don't know if we can do this in August and September, or, you know, go deeper into that. Do you feel like there will come a point where you kind of got to pull the plug, or do you feel like do you feel like the NBA is just going to think in their mind, I don't care how long this takes, but we want to complete this season and we'll worry about future seasons in the future? Or do you think they'll reach a point where they say, we just can't go past this?
No, you know, I think that was certainly my fear, Alan, was that the NBA was going to say, okay, at some point we have to just admit the season is lost and pull the plug. And that would be, I think that would hurt the Lakers more than any other team in the league because of the age of LeBron James and where this team is at and sure. Anthony Davis heading in free agency and all of those things. That's a whole other discussion there. I think that David Griffin's comments, the Pelicans general manager, the other day, where he said that that's not even a thought in their mind right now, canceling the rest of the season, just moving forward, that made me feel a little bit better. And I think this does lead us to an interesting possibility. So let's say that they come back, the NBA comes back sometime in, let's fingers crossed, let's say sometime in June, let's say mid-June they get going. Let's say you can get to the NBA finals by sometime in August. And then next thing you know, you're running free agency and all of that, the draft and everything, say late September you're looking at. And then maybe you're looking at a scenario where you start the NBA season on Christmas Day, which is something that has been kicked around for years now. the idea of moving the NBA schedule anyway and starting it on Christmas Day, and then you're missing a lot of the overlap with NFL football, and potentially you're improving the NBA's ratings in that way. And I think that's a really interesting path to go down. If they can indeed save the season this year, perhaps this is the catalyst that causes us to shift the whole NBA schedule. Because like you said, I don't think if, say, the NBA finals are finished up in August, I think it would be really tough to turn around and start another season on time at the end of October.
Trev, do you got time to stay around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Trevor Lane, senior writer for Lakers Nation. Let's go on that topic because I want to ask you about this. I think a lot of people have said something effect of it would make more sense for the NBA to start around Christmas or on Christmas Day. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Trevor Lane, senior writer for Lakers Nation, hopping on the show. Trev, so do you believe, you were just talking about how coming back and potentially starting the season on Christmas, that we're talking about the 2021 season. You're a fan of that? Because I think there's a lot of people who are fans. They would prefer that the NBA starts on Christmas. There's a lot of maybe more casual fans that think the NBA really does actually start on Christmas. Now, me and you, it's different. You could play any time of the year. You and I are going to watch it. But why do you feel that starting basketball around that time, which is might be something the NBA could experiment with this year because of this delay, why do you feel like that's a good time?
I think the big thing is you're dodging the NFL, which the NFL we know is just an absolute ratings juggernaut. That's something that people are locked in on. And so you're missing a lot of that NFL season when people have their attention there. And then you're giving that alternative starting on Christmas. I like the idea of starting on Christmas too, because that's a great Christmas present, right? NBA season begins. That's a great way to kick things off. But then, you look at where things would finish up too. You're finishing up into the summer when, again, your only competition at that point is Major League Baseball. And I think you have two very, very different fan bases. Of course, you have the MLS there as well, but those are only, one game a week or so. So that's not as big of an issue. So I just like the way things line up there for the league. And then selfishly, Alan, I'm a huge fan of NBA Summer League. And so that means we'd be going to Summer League like first week of October, last week of September, something like that. I'll take Las Vegas then over July anytime. So it's a little bit of selfishness going on here, too, Alan.
I get it, Trev. You got to look. You have to look at your accommodations and how it works with your schedule. Trevor Lane hopping on from Lakers Nation. I want to just get your opinion on this. So there was an article that came out on ESPN, and the media, it just kind of the leading vote getter for MVP, 70 media members voted, 60 of the votes first place went to Giannis. And I don't think that's much of a crazy surprise, because I think that was the case before we went to a hiatus of the season, I guess you can call it. But I just want to get your opinion on this, because I've always been on the, have you been watching LeBron James? Have you seen what he's doing on a night in, night out basis? When he goes to the bench, do you see how much the Lakers struggle? Did you see his production in those two games against the Bucks and the Clippers, which, by the way, were wins as well? I've obviously been on the LeBron James bandwagon, but let me also say this. I'm not watching Giannis every night. So he might be having a better season than LeBron James, but it's LeBron that I get to watch on a night in, night out basis. You surprised 60 of the 70 votes went to Giannis?
I'm surprised it's that many. I'm not surprised that Giannis came out on top. And I don't think, if Giannis wins the MVP, it's not like we're going to look at that and say, oh, LeBron got robbed or anything like, these guys, LeBron and Giannis, are both very, very deserving here. But I'm not surprised, because that was the narrative that had been forming over the course of the season, was that Giannis was the MVP. And look, the Bucks have been absolutely incredible all season. They've done a tremendous job, and Giannis has been amazing. So, of course, he's going to get MVP credibility there. But LeBron thinks he's been doing for the Lakers, watching him on a night-in, night-out basis. He is absolutely deserving. And I think that this COVID-19, this hitting now, if anything, it helps Giannis in the MVP race and hurts LeBron, because LeBron was coming on strong. The Lakers had just beat the Bucks. LeBron was hitting another gear. He was hitting pull-up threes from a step inside half court from the R on the Lakers logo at half court at Staples Center. So I think that if they had played out the remaining, 28, 27, however many games they had left, and especially if the Lakers had caught the Bucks in the standings, I think those numbers might look very, very different. That final stretch could have given LeBron a very, very clear chance to put himself into the pole position to win the MVP award. So I think that this vote, the numbers do make sense. But again, I think that LeBron could have definitely closed that gap having played a few more games this season.
That's a great Michael Thompson of 710 ESPN says the only MVP that really counts is a finals MVP. And obviously, at the end of the day, I'm sure any player that wins regular season MVP would trade it in for a finals MVP award. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is the only thing that matters. But have you been following much of – I wanted to kind of touch base with you on this as well, because I had had kind of an interesting conversation. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated on Friday hopped on the show, and we were talking about – he had a good article of just how Jerry Colangelo – who heads up the basketball side of things for, you know, the Olympics, how he's in a tough position here, because as the NBA season gets delayed, you know, that can easily leak into what could potentially be the Olympics. I just want to get your thoughts real quick. Summer, Olympics supposed to be in Tokyo, USA basketball. Obviously, names like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, even Kyle Kuzma, names like that have been associated, but really AD and LeBron. Do you see anything with just what's gone on in the world over the last few months, any scenario playing out where this Olympics in Tokyo gets played later on in the year?
I could see it in the summer of 2021.
I'm with you.
I think that's the way that they're heading right now. It seems like that's what we're hearing. They are indeed postponing it this summer, and then would be kicking it back one more summer. Now, what that does for the NBA, we'll have to wait and see. Like we were talking about, if the schedule shifts and you've got playoff games in July and August, what does that mean for NBA players in the Olympics? That would be one of the side effects of switching the schedule around. So that would be something interesting to see how the league would handle that. Would it be like soccer, where you have players that are just away on national team duty, and that's what happens, and the Galaxy deal with that, and LAFC, and every other major club in the world have to deal with things like that? Would basketball take the same stance, or would something be switched? I don't know exactly how they would do that, but for right now, it certainly seems like, yeah, Olympics aren't going to be happening this summer, and maybe at best it'll be 2021, but we'll see where they go with that.
Trev, you know what's crazy? There's so many different scenarios, and we have no answers for them. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many questions. I feel like every day I come up with more questions in my own head. What if this happens? What if that happens? But that's just, you know, that's where we are. And again, I want to go back, because I try to do this as much as I can. The sports part of this whole thing is secondary. But, you know, if the sports leagues are back, if the games are back, then that means, okay, then, you know, this crisis right now that the world is in is being resolved, or it has been resolved. So that's the only positive that you can really take out of it. Last thing I want to ask you. So what has Trevor Lane been? Are you been watching a lot of old games? I know there's 15 Laker games on the NBA archive that they're now allowing for free, I think through April or through maybe the last week of April. Are you watching NBA old games? Are you spending a lot of time just watching movies, Netflix? What are you doing with your time?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm digging up a bunch of content for Lakers Nation. That's taking up
always working
my time.
Trevor Lane,
yeah,
always
working on something. But no, actually, I was really just jonesing for some basketball the other day, and I went digging in my DVR, and I thought, you know what? Sure enough, there it is, right there, the last Lakers versus Clippers game. I didn't delete it, so I threw that on. I watched it, and so I enjoyed that. And I've got a bunch of other games on there as well that I'm sure you're going to go take a look at. Plus, digging into the NBA archives, I've watched a few different games on there also. So yeah, that's what I've been doing, just kind of piecemealing it as much as I can, checking out games here and there. A lot of highlights and stuff too on YouTube. Like the other day, I went back and I watched all the highlights from Kobe's last game. from the 60-point performance. That was one that I had to go back and take another, probably my 200th look at, but that's what I've been up to stay connected to basketball at this point.
Well, Trev, you do a great job for Lakers Nation, my man. I appreciate you hopping on. Follow Trevor, follow Lakers Nation, as good as info as you guys can get from a Lakers perspective. Trev, we'll do it again soon, all right, bud?
Sounds great. Thanks, Alan.
All right, Power 5 coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, so the show definitely flying by here. Enjoyed going through all the what we kind of missed most so much from the Los Angeles Lakers, and I appreciate everybody that tweeted in, that called in, hit me up on Instagram, so appreciate you guys doing that. You could always do that at Lakers Talk ESPN on Twitter and on Instagram. Just a quick reminder, so starting tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, everything local, they get you guys going. Sedano after that from noon to three, or from 10 to noon. Will Cain Show, noon to 3, Mason and Ireland from 3 to 6:30, and then I'll hop back on with the Sliwa Show. I'll do crosstalk with the guys as well. So Danny Green was on First Take a little bit earlier today, and I kind of want to walk you guys through a few different answers that he had. He was on, obviously, with Molly Karam, with Stephen A. Smith, with Max Kellerman, and I just kind of want to talk specifically about their conversation because we haven't really got too much of an opportunity to hear from the players kind of how they're taking this predicament, this situation. Or if we have heard anything from the players, it's primarily been through social media. So real quick, here is Danny Green on First Take. Basically, the guys not having any contact with each other. The only time they've been in touch with each other is through text.
We haven't had any physical contact since the Brooklyn Nets news broke. We had been tested that morning, the next morning. We all stayed in our cars, and then we went home. From there, we haven't really talked. Or we talked via text. We have a group chat. We talk in. We've had a couple FaceTimes. I had my Inside the Green Room podcast, or had some of the guys on as a guest. But outside of that, mostly just text, no physical contact.
That's crazy. It's like the whole, and this is with everybody. I mean, think about your coworkers, right? So this is their coworkers. Danny Green's talking about his peers. These are the people that he works with. When I left the studio on Friday, I knew this too because I had seen Funches there. I had seen Jesse there. And I wasn't supposed to be there on Friday, but I had, you know, I mentioned it just from a technical standpoint. I needed to be there. That's the only way I was able to do the show. So all of us, our coworkers, people that we're with every single day, everything just stopped. I'm doing my show from the studio. Everybody's doing their shows from the studio. If you're listening to this, you're probably at home, or you know, you're not in your regular routine like you were before. Same thing with the players. So Danny Green and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Caruso and Dwight. You just go down the list. Rondo, all these players that have been together all season long, been traveling together, practicing together. All of a sudden, boom, everything just stopped. That's kind of been the case for everybody. It's kind of weird. You don't usually share kind of similar predicaments as with some of the players, but I feel like we can share with some of the similarities with them. As far as a financial effect on the players, this is what Danny Green explained.
We're not promised a check past the first of this month, I believe. So you know, this is something that is very different than the lockout. We were able to prepare for the lockout and know that there was going to be no basketball for some time and save up. This time, guys were not prepared for this. This happened out of nowhere. So we got to be smart with these last two checks that we received. We may be getting past that. We don't know yet. If we don't play the rest of the season, it will affect our check and playoffs as well. So we don't know. Everything is kind of on hold. So we have to be very smart with our money and plan that this might be some time before we play again.
All right. So I know from a money perspective, the players' perspective or the players, they're living a different life than we are. Let's just put it that way to simplify it, I guess you can say. But it is a unique predicament for them as well because they are accustomed to certain things. Listen, if you're making more money, you're probably spending more money. So I know that the details that we end up getting on, you know, what happens with the players and their paychecks,
I think a lot of people around the country are kind of facing the same thing. Not everybody has an answer of what they maybe had a month ago, or maybe somebody right now is dealing with a job of theirs that it could go away, or they're going to have to file for unemployment. I think everybody from a financial perspective, it's just been it's different for everybody. And like I said, I know these players are making millions of dollars, so we can never make comparison to the everyday foe. But it's fascinating to listen to some of what their day-to-day is, because it's so different. And a lot of people are kind of dealing with a similar thing. One of the other things that I felt Danny Green talked about, again, he was on First Take with Max Kellerman, Molly Karam, and Stephen A. Smith, was how close the Lakers were to being in this position where he felt like they were really rolling.
Pretty close to where we wanted to be. Still not our full potential, but probably about 80 to 85. We had a great weekend before we played Brooklyn, where they played a tough game and they beat us in a close one. But we had a good stretch before this all happened, and we were rolling in the right direction. And so we feel like we were at like 80, 85% of where we wanted to be. And so obviously Bron has been taking the steps he felt was necessary to put us in that direction, and himself. Obviously him and AD pushing each other, working together. But they had gotten us to a point where, you know, we were in a good position before playoffs started coming around.
We were rolling. We were rolling, Laker fans. We were rolling. I love the honesty from Danny Green, and I think a lot of people would agree with just kind of the way that he described the season, where the Lakers were heading, how the team was doing, and everything else. So that's Danny Green right there on First Take. Okay, we got, I think, a fantastic Power Five that's going to be very, very difficult to come up with five of these. I'm sure Funches has nine ties. let's do some Power Five. Funches, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
All right, so this is day one, almost in the books.
Yeah, man.
For doing a show from home. And then
was it more relaxing doing it from home than coming here?
I'm chilling. Yeah, I'm chilling. I'm just literally kicking back, relaxing. I got NFL TV on in the background. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, all my notes in front of me that I took for the show. It's chill. It is. And hopefully, from a content perspective, we're still pouring out as good as content as we can. So, okay, here's our Power Five. You had a great idea on this one. This is not an easy Power Five.
Not at all. Not at all.
So top five, should I say old school ballers?
Yeah, that you old watch school on ballers, YouTube? Retired players, whatever.
That you watch on YouTube. Yeah. So no current players.
No current players.
Okay, so we're going to go. Basically, this is the criteria. If you go out of your way to hop on YouTube and to type in this player's name and just watch highlights of him, that's the player that we're talking about. Safe to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why don't you get started at number five?
Number five for me, Tracy McGrady.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Just,
good one.
Yeah. I mean, he made things look easy. You know, too bad his career was cut short by injury. But, you know, scoring the 13 points in like a minute, basically that's
right,
like one of
the Spurs.
Yeah. That's like one of the best things I've ever seen in my whole life. Like literally
There are times during the season where, let's say, Lakers are down or Lakers are up or something like that. And I always hear Ireland and MT talk about Tracy McGrady and those 13 points in 30-something seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, what they're saying is it's never over.
It's never over. Never over.
All right, so that's your number five. Let me just say this. This was very difficult for me because there are some ballers that we watch on YouTube. My number five – I got Dominique Wilkins at number five. You ever watch some highlights of Dominique? He was literally a highlight reel. I mean, amazing.
That was his nickname, the human highlight.
100%. 100%. And that's why, like, I mean, just some of his dunks, they were so effortless. I still think he got cheated out. That slam dunk contest against Michael Jordan, I still think that should have been Dominique.
I know. He was just born around the same time as Michael Jordan. Like, all the other guys were.
That part didn't help.
No, not at all.
That part didn't help. All right, who's your number four?
Number four for me, a lot of Laker fans might hate me for saying this, but Kobe. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole and watch Kobe for almost 3 or 4 straight hours, but, you know, lately we've been seeing a lot of Kobe highlights and stuff like that.
His fadeaway
might have been the best fadeaway. He might have been better than Jordan's, his fadeaway.
Let me tell you this. I was at I'm just starting to get to a point right now where I'm watching more. Like, if I see it, I'll go ahead and watch it. Like, I don't go out of my way to search it. But if Kobe's on, and what I mean by that, it's just, it's been tough. It's been like, you know, you got like a heavy heart to see
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
exactly.
But if now I'm at a point where if it's on, I'll watch it. And I also kind of have that there like, grit, that look in my face, like, just freaking get him, Kobe.
There was a good, I don't know, 5-minute video package that someone put together on Twitter or YouTube maybe. And it was just all of Kobe's game winners. So many.
I might have seen that. I think I might have seen that. It might have been over the weekend or last week.
I saw it over the weekend too.
My number four, Larry Bird. You ever seen Larry Bird?
Of course I have.
Some of his highlights. I mean, you know what some of my favorite highlights are? Bird will throw up some of these shots or he'll do something, and it's the bench from the opposing team that is like their reaction to what Larry Bird is doing. You know, he's probably one of the more underrated passers in the NBA as well. So it's a beautiful game overall.
Yeah, Michael Thompson said he's like a top three passer of all time.
That's right. That's right. I enjoy the Larry Bird highlights. Just the man. Who you got at number three?
Number three, I got Michael Jordan. Michael Air Jordan.
Never heard of him.
And, you know, just like Kobe, you can go down, a rabbit hole and watch Jordan highlights for like 3 hours, and all of a sudden it's, you know, dark outside or whatever.
For me, number three, Eric Pajkowski.
Hey, man, 3-point champion, right? No?
All right, number three for me actually is Kobe. You know, I put Kobe in my top three as well. And I could watch there. I had a new appreciation for Kobe when he retired.
Me too.
Now,
absolutely.
Obviously, under the circumstances, not the circumstances any of us, you know, anybody wish for. It's a completely different appreciation now. But for me, number three is Kobe. Absolute killer. Absolute killer was Kobe Bryant. So I loved watching him in some of his highlights. Who you got number two?
Number two, I had your number four, Larry Bird.
Larry Bird at two.
Larry Bird is just so fun to watch. I mean, you know, we were young babies, you know, when he was playing ball. But watching him now, like, he was a highlight reel every game.
I can I could watch 10 hours of the next guy.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson for me was just the best, man. I love watching Magic highlights. I could watch Magic all day long. Loved all his passes. Loved his just that clutch gene that he had. For me, he's my favorite. He's my number two highlight reel. Who you got number one?
Number one for me, it might be shocking to some few, but Jason Williams, White Chocolate. Of the Sacramento Kings fame.
Oh, right.
Every video I've seen of his highlight videos, I'm just glued and I watch it.
He makes it happen.
Oh my God. His passing is just uncanny.
My number one is Jordan. I think Jordan was just stupid. He was ridiculous. And some of the plays that he had, just the dunks on the Knicks, just the everything that he did. I put MJ at number one. I've got some honorable mentions here that I'm going to mention.
Yeah, sure.
Dr. J.
Dr. J, yes.
Some highlights of him. AI. AI.
Of course, when he stepped over Ty Lue.
Yep. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, the dream shake.
Highlights. Shaq.
I was going to put Shaq on my list, too.
There's some great names out there.
And also Will Chamberlain, too, because he just dominates.
I was at that game. I was at all his games. I had season tickets.
The 100-point game, right?
I had season tickets that year. All right. Don't forget, if you miss any part of this show, tune in to download the Lakers Talk on the podcast or on iTunes, on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Don't forget, tomorrow, the Sliwa Show comes back from 6:30 to 10. We do crosstalk with Mason and Ireland. Appreciate you guys tuning in, LA. Have a great rest of your night.